Good morning and welcome. Thanks for bringing your hearts and minds to LUF Online today. Even though we are gathered in virtual reality, just outside your door, Mother Nature abides. So it has always been. So we give thanks then for the people of our First Nations who in the past cared deeply for the land. In their terms, one's connected to nature is thoughtfully expressed in this way: all my relations. Richard Wagamese says, and I quote, "All my relations means all." When a speaker makes this statement, it's meant as a recognition of the principles of harmony, unity, and equality. It's a way of saying that you recognize your place in the universe and that you recognize the place of others and of other things in the realm of the real and the living. Ida begins our service.
Good morning and welcome to a celebration of beauty and diversity. For those of you new to Unitarian and Universalist traditions, this is Lakehead Unitarian Fellowship's flower ceremony, sometimes referred to as the flower communion, the flower communion or flower festival. It is an annual ritual that also celebrates the uniqueness of individuals and the importance of community as well as nature's beauty and diversity. In this ceremony, when we are able to be in our physical congregation space, everyone attending brings a flower. Each person places that stem in shared vases up at the front. Then the congregation and minister together bless the blooms. When we depart, each person brings home a different flower than the one they brought. Originally created in 1923 by Unitarian minister Norbert Čapek of Prague, Czechoslovakia, the flower ceremony was introduced to the United States by Reverend Maya Čapek, Norbert's widow. And during our Zoom service today, you will be able to hear the rest of the story. I welcome everyone to our tradition now with an online twist. Born in June 1870 in a South Bohemian village, Norbert was the only son of Joseph Čapek and Marie Merrick, simple peasant folk of limited education. Joseph was a tailor and a religious agnostic. Marie, a devout Roman Catholic. The idealist religious impulse was very strong in Norbert, even as a boy. At age 10, he became an acolyte at St. Martin's Church, but soon was disillusioned by the priest's cynical attitudes and behavior towards his parishioners. At age 18, Čapek resigned from the Roman Catholic Church and was baptized a Baptist. At that time, he was in Vienna as an apprentice to his uncle, a tailor whose shop supplied the House of Habsburg. A chance encounter had led to his introduction to the Baptist way in religion. The young man entered it with his whole heart and soon became a Bible distributor and Baptist evangelist in Saxon in Saxony and Moravia. He founded almost a dozen churches from Ukraine to Budapest. While in Moravia, he edited several journals, one titled New People had a circulation of 80,000. Chapek's faith slowly became very liberal. Moreover, his research in the Moravian archives at Brno convinced him that a free Christian faith was native to his people, though its history was buried and forgotten. Free Christianity had been very widely practiced for centuries before the coming of Roman Catholic missionaries and subsequent state-enforced Catholicism. In 1903, Chapek wrote Fragments of the History of Persecuted Christians. In that paper, Chapek documented what he considered the Bohemian and Moravian roots of the free faith he was just then himself struggling to articulate. He praised the religious convictions of the Moravian brethren. They valued the spiritual life above any teachings or dogmatics. Years later, in a 1921 letter to the president of the American Unitarian Association, Chapek described this paper as out and out Unitarian in conception and purpose. It was in essence the platform upon which he proposed to start a new religious movement in Bohemia, although he had written it nearly 20 years earlier. Maya V. Chapek was born in 1888 and grew up in Western Bohemia. Now it is the Czech Republic. She, with her family, emigrated to the United States in 1907. She graduated from Columbia University School of Library Science. There she met her husband, Baptist minister Norbert Chapek, and became his wife in 1917. They had met in New York City while he was studying for his PhD, and it was at her urging that Norbert left the Baptist ministry and turned to Unitarianism. Having developed increasingly liberal views, Norbert Chapek resigned his Baptist ministry in 1919. After an initial rebuff by the American Unitarian Association, Norbert and Maya returned to their native country with one daughter to found a liberal church in 1921 in Prague. Their church was very successful, becoming the largest Unitarian congregation in the world. Maya Chapek was ordained in 1926. With the Nazi occupation of Czechoslovakia, Maya came to the United States to raise funds for relief in Czechoslovakia. It was during her tour of the United States that Maya introduced the Flower Communion, which had been developed in the Prague Church at the Unitarian Church in Cambridge. Unfortunately fortunately for us, Maya was unable to return to Prague due to the outbreak of World War II. She began serving North Unitarian Church in New Bedford in 1940. North Unitarian Church, originally Unity Home, was a mission of the First Unitarian church, becoming a separate church back in 1917. The church served a congregation composed mostly of immigrants from Central Europe who worked in the local mills. Unity Home began by serving the young people of the north end of New Bedford. Rooms were taken for a girls' social union where the daughters of immigrants could meet for classes in sewing, millinery, and cooking, as well as games. All girls were welcome free of charge. Under the leadership of Maya Chapek from 1940 to 1943, the church prospered. She was said to have a particular interest in the young people of the church, although her influence extended to all members of the church. In 1943, Maya Chapek left New Bedford to serve in the United Nations Relief and Rehabilitation Agency, helping to provide relief for Europeans ravaged by the Second World War. In 1947, she joined the organization Relief for Czechoslovakia, providing relief for the people of her homeland. Sadly, back in Europe, Norbert Chapek was put to death in October 1942 for high treason. When the Nazis took control of Prague in 1940, they found Dr. Chapek's gospel of the inherent worth and beauty of every person to be, as Nazi court records show, too dangerous to the Reich to be for him to be allowed to live. Dr. Chapek was sent to Dachau, where he was killed the next year during a Nazi medical experiment. Maya did not learn of his death until 1945. So this gentleman suffered a cruel death, but his message of human hope and decency lives on. Through his flower communion with his wife Maya as the messenger. It is widely used today and is a noble and meaning fulfilled ritual which you use, adapt, and celebrate now and 99 years into the future.
And now you know the rest of the story. So we're going to sing our second Chapek hymn this morning in just a moment or two. There's a Reverend Kimberly Debus online, and she has an opinion about color and fragrance, and I'd like to share her words with you. She says that this hymn makes her think about process, relationship, and resistance set to a quaint tune. Here are her words. I don't know how many congregations sing this hymn. I know that my home congregation sang it exactly once a year at Flower Communion, a ritual devised by Unitarian minister Norbert Chapek in Prague in the 1920s, and later brought to the US by his wife Maya in the 1940s. The tune is, for lack of a better word, quaint. Old-fashioned, but not in a stand-the-test-of-time sort of way. And that's okay, because it does make it a song of its time, perfect for hauling out once a year so we can tell the story of Chapek's ceremony and his subsequent martyrdom at the hands of the Third Reich. But this hymn is so much more. And there's a prescience to the lyrics that makes me admire Chapek, the theologian, even more. You see, this is a very process theology hymn. Yet, Chapek had been executed in Dachau several years before Charles Hartshorn wrote The Divine Relativity, which establishes this new theology based on a philosophy, based on mathematics and physics. She continues, in this remarkable lyric, we discover a growing God, a creating creator, inviting us to not just notice creation, not just be part of creation, but to be part of creating all of Earth and its earthlings equal God's vision growing, especially those last two verses that make it clear that we are God's vision growing. We are the creation and the creators of reality through our actions, through our being, in relationship, moving in harmony. So moving forward, I want you to know that she wrote these words on the day after President Trump was elected, and she was extremely disappointed. And I suggest that here today we just talk about sort of the coming new normal. And here again are her words. Now, it's kind of a postscript, but not really. I have been wondering how we will manage, and more, how can we make sense of our faith and my own process relational perspective without it turning into an unrealistic Pollyanna-like fairy tale? Am I asking too much of this positive, creative approach to life, to thought, to divinity? Of course, an answer appeared. As I sat down to write and hunt for the links for this piece, I encountered this quotation from process theologian Bob Menke. Relational power takes great strength. In stark contrast to unilateral power, the radical manifestations of relational power are found in people like Martin Luther King Jr., Mahatma Gandhi, and Jesus. It requires the willingness to endure tremendous suffering while refusing to hate. It demands that we keep our hearts open to those who wish to slam them shut. It means offering to open up a relationship with people who hate us, despise us, and wish to destroy us. It's about relationships, not just to what some call God, but to each other, to events, to power, to suffering, to our enemies and our friends, to the earth, to growth. It's about relationships, because in the end, that's all we have. It won't be easy. In a piece called How Will They Change Their Minds, blogger and friend Doug Mutter explores what it will take and how minds have changed in the recent past. It requires patience, resistance, and most of all, relationships. It won't be easy, but it is what we're called to if we are ever to see God's vision growing. And you could ask yourself, what am I called to for LUF's vision growing? And I would add, what are you personally going to do to uplift the consciousness of the planet?